Welcome to the
Idiots
Explaining
Entertainment
Extravaganza, only on GamingUncensored.com.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to episode 4 of E4 2020. We were supposed to be doing a roundtable right now episode, and we're not. So we just decided to do a show. I'm Tommy. Jamie said over there. How you doing, man?
This is what you do when you have like a 2-year-old. Okay, like we vlogged out this time, and we were gonna do a roundtable, and nobody showed up. You bums. And we're like, well, we're here. We have to do something because we vlogged out the time. So, yeah.
We're going to try a roundtable again. We'll see if that happens next week. But, we were here. We're sitting in front of microphones. So, last show, dang it. So, here we are. It's the unprepared show because we don't really know what we're talking about outside of we're going to talk about The Last of Us 2, which is fine by me. So, that'll be a decent chunk of what we do here. So, buckle up for that. Warning. We're not very far along, and so we probably won't spoil it for most people because you're probably farther along than us. But we will talk about stuff, probably the big beginning of the game spoiler. I think that's relevant to the discussion. So just a heads up, if you're planning on playing and haven't played it at all yet, there is a big spoiler that happens pretty early on in the game that's pretty necessary to talk about. I don't think there's anything else we've seen at this point that's very spoilery, but that one is. Heads up, adjust accordingly.
I will say that we're further along than I thought we would be at this point because you've been playing like a madman.
I'm trying, man. Obviously we talk about how hard it is to game generally with a 2-year-old and with a job and everything else and trying to balance stuff. And then put on top of that, this is a game that I can't play with her sitting on my lap. I just won't do it. And so some games I can do that a little bit, that she can come hang out. And I've kind of snuck it in, you know, a little bit here and there, like whenever she's in the room but kind of doing something else, I like fire it up for just a little bit, and then she'll come running over. What you doing? You know, just looking. I'm like, nothing. Just hanging out. Why do you ask? You know? So she saw me earlier today. She actually sat on my lap after I'd cleared out an area, and I'm just walking around like looting stuff, you know, whatever. Like, given that like a clicker doesn't pop out of a closet or something, this is probably not going to scar her for life. And so we'll see how it goes. So, all that being said, we'll talk about that. And then, any other kind of interesting gaming news that we find in the next hour or so, as we can. So, before that, how you doing, man?
You know, I'm not that. I'm glad to be here. I, as I was saying earlier, we had to do something because once you tell me we're doing something, we have to do something. So I'm really excited to be here. I'm glad that I spent most of last night, because I didn't sleep, catching up with you on The Last of Us.
Very nice.
And I'm literally about 15 minutes behind. Like, there's 15 minutes left on the last video.
Very nice.
So I'm very excited about that. Saw some cool stuff yesterday that I have to talk about. And I'm in a really good place. I haven't played Mass Effect Andromeda for about a week because I've been on a Last of Us binge. Because I went from The Last of Us 2 straight into The Last of Us 2. I need probably some therapy at this point.
So before we get into The Last of Us 2, just now that you finished the first game, what'd you think? Like, tell me a little bit about that journey.
So, there are games. And then there are games, right? And The Last of Us 2 is one of those games that I'm... Or The Last of Us is one of those games that I'm ashamed that I waited so long to YouTube. Okay, like, I said before that the reason that I hadn't done that was because I knew we would get around to it when the remaster came out. because The Last of Us 2 was coming and all that. So I waited. And I watched, in its entirety, 10 hours on YouTube, which I hated because that's not the way I want to experience video games. However, it was some of the most compelling 10 hours of entertainment I've ever seen in my life. And I talked about on the last show the issues that I had with it, the sound problems and the like. There's one area at the very end that I'm like, come on, Neil, what are you doing, dude? Because for like the last 3 hours of the first game, Joel should have died. I mean, dude fell on a spike.
Yeah.
And he's got a hole in his, like, stomach where a kidney should be. And he's laying on that spike, and she pulls him off, and I'm like, come on, nobody survives that. And then he gets sepsis, and she goes and gets some penicillin and just, like, shoots it into the wound. And he just wakes up, and I'm like, yo, that's some magic penicillin. Like, I don't know what's in that, but that's some magic penicillin.
It's good stuff.
So I had some issues with the story. I know that's the stuff that they glossed over. They had to gloss over to tell the story. But it was like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Like, he's done.
Yeah. Yeah. Just on that point, just to be a bit of a wet blanket, because it's, again, we're going to talk about these two titles, and they're both fabulous, and don't hear us wrong, but we're also curmudgeon-y gamers, and so we're going to complain about some stuff as well. And that's one of the things, right, with The Last of Us, and The Last of Us 2 is no different, so this just kind of transitions into the next game. They're some of the best stories in video games. They're amazing. And like stories in movies or in books or anywhere else, they also have giant plot holes, right? Like, there's just stuff that you're like, that's pretty ridiculous. It's not a quote-unquote realistic game, you know? Like, like the idea that, like, you can make a health kit out of, like, alcohol and cloth, which there's just alcohol everywhere, apparently, in this world still, you know, like, and like, that just makes you better, is ridiculous. Like, it's just absurd on its face. Like, it's just part of what you're getting into with this thing that makes it fun to play. And so you kind of have to have this suspension of disbelief in order to enjoy the other aspects of it. And so there are just these massive kind of plot things that, when we talked about the original game many, many years ago, I talked about my issues with the ending of the first Last of Us. I didn't love the ending. I had issues with the ending. I mean, I didn't love the game. The game was fabulous. But it was unsatisfying to me in some key ways. And I know The Last of Us 2 is going to be as well. I don't know what the plot points are. I've been very, very careful to avoid spoilers. I know a few kind of broad strokes of things that happen, but not anything specific, you know, but I know I'm going to be disappointed by part of it, which is kind of the brilliance of the game. Like, that's one of the things, like, at this point, like, after I finished the first Last of Us title, I kind of complained about it for a bit. And now looking back on it, I'm like, I'm kind of glad it disappointed me. I'm glad that it didn't give me the ending that I wanted in a way, because it was a good ending. Like, it just wasn't as satisfying. You know, like, there's this weird, like,
okay,
I wanted to happen didn't happen. And yet, like, I really appreciate, like, the narrative and the storytelling and everything else of it. And it just puts you in this weird place.
So let's go back for a second, because it's been like 12 years since we talked about the ending of that original game.
It's been a little while. What? So my memories of it aren't going to be great either.
Right. But I don't remember what your desire was for the ending.
I wanted to sacrifice Ellie.
Yeah.
That's the most basic way of looking at it. that I, at that point, mind you, without a kid. And so surely at this point, I would have a very different experience with it, because I remember we talking to Chad about it at the time, you know, went back and forth with Chad, because Chad vehemently disagreed with my take, because he talked about his daughter so much. And just as a father playing that game, like, of course, that was the only thing that could happen. And now, obviously, if I played it again, I would, you know, knock down walls to save Ellie. At the time, you know, I was like, bigger picture, find a cure, let's fix this thing, let's make the world better again, you know, which isn't what The Last of Us is about, obviously. Like, that's not the point of The Last of Us in any capacity.
Well, and the thing, I thought that was what I remembered, and now that I've seen it, I disagree, because, like, then what do you do?
Right.
Like, the franchise is over at that point.
Sure. Yeah. So with the lens of a second game, obviously, that would screw things up if it had a happy ending. It just didn't have a happy ending, you know. Like them rolling off in the car. I don't remember if that's like the very last scene or whatever, you know.
Yeah, she's in the back, like waking up from the anesthesia, which was the other thing. Like, I had visions of like Michael Jackson in my head going, like, you need a doctor for that.
Right.
You don't just wake up when he unplugs you. I mean, it's a little weird.
Yeah.
But she wakes up in the back seat and they have this discussion, because she's like, yo, what happened? And he says, it turns out that there's like 12 other people like you, and they can't synthesize an immunity, so I just took off. And that conversation goes on for a few minutes, and she goes back to sleep. And then later, and this is what I like about The Last of Us 2, is that if you haven't played the original game, they did a really nice job of catching you up and putting you in that exact same spot.
Yeah.
At the end of the first game.
Which is why I remember it.
And saying, here we go. Because at the beginning of The Last of Us 2, she looks him in the face and says, did you tell me the truth? And of course he lies. And says, yeah, I told you the truth. You know, because he was just trying to do what he thought the right thing was at that point. So they did a fantastic job with that. And I love what you bring up about the plot holes, because I made a wisecrack earlier that I just have to tell people. Because it made you laugh, and I know it's going to make them laugh. And I honestly feel this way. You and I grew up watching action movies, right? Yeah. We love Metal Gear. We love all that stuff. And I'm watching The Last of Us and The Last of Us 2. The Last of Us 2 especially. Because The Last of Us 2 ramps it up. And I'm thinking to myself, when we were 15... this is the greatest alternate reality Rambo that we could have ever thought of. You know, like,
absolutely.
Like, if you take Ellie out and put Sly Stallone in, and he's the one that's stabbing people in the neck, like, you and I are having a blast at 15. That's what it is. Like, it's an alternate reality Rambo, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, I like that way of looking at it. And it has some of those same kind of over-the-top ridiculous things with it, too, which are a blast. Like, honestly, it makes it a lot of fun. And so, it's wonderful. So, all that said, now transitioning into the actual game that's out now that we're playing. Thoughts so far in the second one, and especially from your perspective, because you just experienced the first one. Like I said, it's been so long since I've experienced the first one. You mentioned that this one ramps it up. What else have you noticed that is different from the first game?
that they took everything that they did and they made it better in that the crafting is better, the skill set is better. And this is what I wanted to talk to you about, because I'm starting to believe that picking up the superhero cards somehow gives you experience, because it seems like I've been watching you and I've been watching another guy. And it seems like about the time that you pick a couple of those up, you get to level her up in some way. And so they look like they're just tchotchkes, and they look like it's just something to grab for a trophy. But I'm wondering if that actually affects your leveling and the way that works, because it seems like every time you pick up three or four of those, she's ready to do something different with her skill tree.
I think it's just timing weirdness would be my guess, because it's the kind of level up stuff is so directly, you know, either pills or finding the magazines in the game, which they do, you know, obviously the magazines give you new trees that you unlock that you can do. I don't think that the playing card things, the trading card thing, does anything outside of just being the collectible thing in the game, which is cool. It's kind of a fun little collectible, but I don't think it does anything past that. At least not that I've noticed. If it does, that'd be cool. I think I've gotten most of them so far. That's it. One nice thing about it, be a person who doesn't love just going and finding every little like trinket thing. We've talked about this before. Like Breath of the Wild, I love. I'm not interested in going and finding every Korok seed in Breath of the Wild. Like that's just not something that I, as a gamer, really enjoy doing. These are because, in part, The Last of Us is a much, much, much more linear game, even though it's got these cool levels that have some freedom and some you can roam around a little bit. It's still very, very linear. It's kind of hard to miss stuff, and so I'm sure I've missed some because I haven't looked in every nook and cranny, but I know I've gotten most of them at this point, and that's pretty cool. Like, I appreciate that from a game design standpoint a lot for where I am in life right now, that it feels rewarding to find those, but not rewarding enough for me to spend hours just, like, searching every corner of the level, you know? And so they're positioned in places that are kind of logical to look in, and you just kind of naturally stumble upon them when looking for other things, and you're like, oh, that's cool. I feel really good about that.
I will say again, I think the skills have gotten better in that it's more clear to me as far as what you need to do to upgrade a certain thing.
Yeah.
What you're looking for and where you're trying to go. I think the skill trees are nice. I enjoy that. One thing that I love about The Last of Us 2 and also the first game, but even more so in The Last of Us 2, is the UI. Like, I've heard a lot of people complain about the UI, but I really kind of like the UI. It's really nice. It's kind of minimal, and there's not a lot there unless you want to make it pop up.
Yeah.
It's really about that environment and what's going on.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And part of what makes it so great is that every room that you're in, there's crap to pick up. And I have gotten, I'm glad that like 6 hours in, you finally found the button that you could hit to make the letters pop out and the notes pop out. because for like the first 3 hours, you're reading those notes in cursive. And like, I'm going, dude, find the button. Find the, because I can't read that.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. I was just reading them. I knew the button was there, just never thought about it. And I went, oh man, I know Jamie's watching this. I should probably do it. And so you'll also notice that I'll go through them pretty quickly, and then I'll close it, and I'll pop it back open for a little bit. Right, I need, Jamie's reading this, you know, like I need to be aware of that. So I've tried to get much better about that.
This is the only, well, not the only, but this is one of those games where if you are too fast for the note. I will go back on YouTube on my computer screen that's right in front of my face and scroll through and read those notes.
Yeah.
Because the writing and the storytelling is insane.
Yeah.
Like, you just got to the point where you're at the theater and it's you and what's her face? Dina. And the theater is like a safe place, and the game kind of slows down a little bit and lets you take a breath. And it's very obvious that somebody was squatting there, but you don't know where they are, how long they've been gone. You don't know what's going on. And she picks up this note. And when it popped up last night, like, I'm in bed, I can't see it. I immediately made a mental note. Okay, I gotta go back and read that to figure out, you know, what was this person doing here? And that's the cool thing, is if you're paying attention, the notes and the written stuff actually tell you, hey, this is what this person was doing here and what they were trying to do or get away from or whatever.
Yeah, I love that aspect of the game, just that you kind of get a peek into the lives of people, like the progression of the pandemic and the fallout. You know, like you find these people that were doing stuff at different points in time. And so all the stuff in Seattle, you know, but talks about the wolves, but talks about them in kind of different ways. And you know, at one point, Fedra was there, and now Fedra's not there, but you still see, you know, the storyline elements of kind of what happened and all that stuff. And so, yeah, I dig that, too. I'm also not one that is generally, like, read every bit of lore in a game. You know, playing something like Skyrim, and you come across book after book after book.
Right.
Yeah, I'm just not really that interested in those, you know? And I totally appreciate it from a development standpoint. I totally appreciate it for the people who are going to read that and want to immerse themselves in that. I got a buddy that is that way, that will read line.
What's up, buddy?
We'll read every line of a game like that. In this one, like, it's enough that it feels substantial, but it's not too much that it feels overwhelming. And it's like each note is like a page or two, you know, as opposed to like a tome or whatever. And like, again, it's really good design for somebody like me who is looking for a deep gaming experience that's not going to take 80 hours to finish. Like, it's just like, it really feels like this is the game for me at this point in my life that just makes sense. You know, like, it just is really well designed for that situation.
Let's talk about the time for a second since you brought that up. The first game is pretty much exactly 10 hours, maybe 10 and a half. And that's if you know what you're doing. I just, out of curiosity, I figured they would be about the same size, so I looked it up, and The Last of Us 2 is 20.
Yeah.
So we got twice as much game here, and I feel like we're really making a dent in it. We're Seattle day two. We've seen some freaky stuff. You've been through a subway. We've seen Shamwars, which totally remind me of the Flood from Halo.
Yes.
It's kind of the coolest thing ever.
They're pretty fun.
I thoroughly enjoy that. We've seen a lot of cool stuff. I feel like we're making a dent. And then I look at what is essentially my mental clock and go, okay, this is hour 8.
Yeah.
And we've got another, you know,
yeah,
10 or 11 to go.
Yeah. It looks like there's a pretty well-defined halfway point that we're coming up on. We're not there yet. But yeah, we've got a bunch of game left, which is really, really nice. Which is fun. I'll just a story on the way that I'm playing it, because I have this, traumatic experience from the first Last of Us game. there was, and I can't tell you where it is. Like I said, it's been so long since I played the first Last of Us game. But somewhere near the end, kind of last two-thirds of the original, that you're in a place where there's a bunch of shipping containers and there's, you know, a lot of dudes around that you have to take out and get through on the other side. And I was just depleted of resources, just had nothing left. And that part of the game was so, I remember getting so frustrated with it and like leaving it for a while and having to come back to it after a while because it just was darn near impossible because I didn't have any ammo, I didn't have any supplies to make stuff. I just was out of everything. And like I would sneak for a little bit and then one of them would find me and then they would bombard me and I just, you know, whatever, couldn't get through it. And so in this one, I am so, like, intent about making sure I'm stocked all the time, that, like, I have stuff made, that I'm picking up every scrap, that, like, you know, like, I'm just never going to be without if I don't have to be without in this game. And I feel like I'm playing a lot slower because of that, because I'm being really intentional about that. But it has made it both, in a way, it's made it, you know, easier, obviously, just having resources, having ammo, and having, you know, Molotov cocktails to lob at people is helpful. But it's also, like, it's just more fun because, like, I'm also like, hey, I need to use a Molotov cocktail because I'm kind of maxed out on everything, you know, or I need to set one of these proximity mines, or I need to, you know, just it's making me also utilize some of the gameplay mechanics that I might otherwise just want to sneak and kill, you know. But now I can do some of the fun stuff too. And so like a shambler, like I'm like, okay, every time I come across a shambler, I'm going to lob a Molotov cocktail at the thing. Cause that's really rewarding, you know, like it's really fun. And then you still have to shoot it cause that alone doesn't kill it cause the things are ridiculous. But it's a fun little, both, you know, good gameplay design cause it's well balanced, I feel like, but also just my, like, I don't want to get screwed again like I did in the first game.
Couple of things on that. For those of you that don't know, he has very severe ADD. and we play a lot of games together. And one thing that I struggle with when we play games together is that I'm methodical because I have to be. And if he has the option, he's not somebody that really goes slow. And I'm really loving this because of what happened in the last game, because you have to go slow.
Yeah.
And as you have correctly stated, yeah, it makes the game easier, but it's not an easy button. And yeah. That's something that I find very interesting, because the guy that played through the first one that I watched, the channel name is MK Ice and Fire, by the way, if you want to look this guy up. He's really good. He plays a lot of stuff. But he played the first game on hard and was the same way, just picked up everything. And if he was full on stuff, then he would craft something and pick up what he was full on 30 seconds ago. And I'm like, that's how you play The Last of Us.
Right.
And I kind of wasn't looking forward to the way that you normally
typically play games. Yep.
Right. Because that's not how this one is built.
Yeah.
My initial thought was Tommy's going to get smoked. Like he's gonna get run over in the first 3 hours because he's just, you know, he's trying to get through it and time's limited and all that. And I have to applaud the team, because essentially what you did to yourself in the first game is forcing you to play this one different.
Yeah.
And when we say that he is slow, there was a point last night where I was like, dude, guy's right there. You can sneak right there. Just take him out. Because you would sneak around and you would look and then you would go back around the other way and then you would, and I'm going, he's right there. Just stab him in the neck. But you're so nervous that I love it because it's not the way that you play.
Yeah. Normally. But it's the way the game's designed. And it kind of forces your hand to that way. And I mean, I played The Last of Us, the original, similarly, and that I was still stealthy. You know, that's
right.
You could theoretically run and gun in The Last of Us. I don't know how you would ever have any ammo at that point.
I don't know either.
Until you get a bow. The nice thing about getting the bow, which I just got the bow, which is, thank goodness. But the nice thing about getting the bow is that you at least can recover your ammo some of the time. And so that's super helpful. But all that said, still, it really does force your hand to play it stealth because you got to, even though I know it forces you to play stealth because it forces you not to play stealth at sometimes because it knows you're playing stealth, you know, like there's little game design elements, not just the kind of jump scares of a clicker coming out of a closet or whatever. But also, you know, just very intentional moments when you slide down a hill and there's just dudes there and there's no way that you could not have been noticed by them. And so you're automatically in a firefight. And so it forces you to also do that kind of element. Yet still, my first instinct is to, okay, go find a corner, take off the closest guys, and then hang out until they lose track of me, and then go back to stealth mode. You know, like, it's still, like, I'm like, okay, you're trying to force my hand, but I'm going to go back as quickly as I can to what's comfortable here. You know, like, it's just the way the game's supposed to be played. And it plays really well like that. It's not the best gameplay of any game I've ever played, but it's really, really good, and it's fun, and you couple that with a great narrative and really interesting characters. At the end of the day, it's a more character-driven story than anything else. The world's interesting. Obviously, the idea of the infected is a fun way to do zombies. But you care about Ellie. You care about Joel. You care about these new characters now. You care about Dina and Jesse and you care about Tommy. And, you know, like the fact that there's these characters that you want to know what happens to them, regardless of the ridiculousness of the story, is what makes it really, really fun and really, really interesting. But on top of that it's super dark, and I have a soft spot for really, really dark entertainment. You know, like I the Sexy Sidekick and I were talking the other night about what TV we wanted to watch because we ran out, done with the show, ready to start another show, you know, in the evenings after Genevieve goes to sleep. And so we want to watch Watchmen, because it looks fantastic. Ooh. It's supposed to be so good. And I'm like, yes, let's watch Watchmen. Like, that's going to be so good, but not yet, because I'm playing this game and this game is super dark and is, you know, just emotionally, like, I don't need two dark shows going on at the same time. Right. It's like, and so we're watching, you know, ridiculous, like, cooking competitions while I'm playing The Last of Us right now, you know, like to counteract the darkness of The Last of Us, because it is so, so dark.
It is, and it's it's dark. That's why I haven't been playing anything else, because I don't have, after I watch 2 hours of The Last of Us, I don't have energy to do anything else. It's like something that one of the guys said on Facebook, that there's no good people.
Right.
There's no happiness here. Like I love Ellie. I said to you that Ellie is the most complete character in gaming. Most well-rounded character in gaming. I really believe that. It's not a Jamie Jordan kind of a thing. I think she is, mainly because at this point in The Last of Us 2, she's 18 years old. And she's gotten screwed over 18 different ways at this point. And she's just snarky. And her mouth is filthy. And she's lovable. And I'm looking at this going, okay, it's a video game character. And you may have seen the post in Facebook the other day where we figured out where else we've seen the actress. She's on one of my favorite shows, Blind Spot.
Yeah.
And she is that, in that show, she's that exact same personality. She's much smarter. She's a freaky, weird FBI scientist. But she's got that same snarky attitude. And it's just, it's a testament to the writing. It's a testament to her acting that Ellie is a living, breathing person and very much in the way of Clementine in The Walking Dead. I don't know what's going to happen to Ellie when this is all over, but it's not going to be happy.
No.
Like, it's not going to be happy. She ain't going to ride off into sunset with Dina, who, holy cow, is pregnant.
That's not the big spoiler. We skipped over the big spoiler, but that one's fun, too.
Yeah, that was...
I don't think it's Ellie's. I'm just guessing here.
No, I don't think it is. But it, like, the game is just messed up, and I want so much, and I think you feel the same way. I want so much for her to have some sort of stability. Should we give the big spoiler and why she's out here by herself?
Let's do it. We said we were going to. So, I mean, might as well. So go ahead. I'll let you tell the story.
So, as I said, Joel should have died at the end of the first game. And I think they knew that he should have died at the end of the first game, because the second game, he and his brother Tommy walk into something that he would have never walked into had he had Ellie with him, with this girl that just pops up out of nowhere, and I'm screaming at the top of my lungs, "Dude, she's dead! You're about to get totally screwed over! What are you doing?" And lo and behold, he did. He got killed. Like, he's dead.
Golf club to the skull.
Yeah.
It was
like, it wasn't pleasant at all.
Not pleasant at all.
And, like, I saw that, and that was one of those times that when she took, like, I knew he was going to die. Like, I didn't know he was going to die.
Yeah, but you kind of assumed.
Just at...
I didn't think it was going to be an hour into the game.
Right.
I thought it was going to be Dina. Because, like, you knew it was a quest for revenge, you know? And the way they... I mean, they obviously kind of wanted you to believe it was Dina. It was what they were kind of leading you into. But I really did. I thought it was going to be Dina. That was either was killed or betrayed her early in the game. And so when it was Joel that died early in the game, I was like, too bad. You know, like, I really like Joel. I appreciate that they do flashbacks, so, like, Joel gets to still be a character. But, man, yeah, that was rough.
Well, and the thing is it's not like, oh, darn, I'm going to miss that guy. When she took that golf club to his head, I was like, wow!
Yeah, it's not one that leaves you with many questions. You're like, oh, that dude's dead. He's dead.
Like, I'm thinking, you ain't coming back from that, bro. Like, you could find some magic medicine if you want to. And by the way, did we mention that Ellie's having some fun in a den of weed?
Yeah. I mean, It's quite the adult game.
She's just hanging out, having a good time in a huge den of weed. So there's some stuff there that'll make you feel better, but you ain't coming back from that.
No. A fantastic job of delivering an interesting narrative in a twisted, really screwed up way, in a really twisted, screwed up world, and then you get to shoot people and dogs and zombies. I have no qualms. Let's see if we could get some hate mail going on here. I have no qualms about killing the dogs in this game. I am like die dog, you know, like you can theoretically like lead the handler and the dog into like an isolated area and then shoot the handler. And then the dog will just be there like, oh, I don't know what to do now. But then if like get anywhere near the dog or like you get alerted and people come after you and the dog comes after you, the dog's not settling down and deciding not to bite you, you know? So I'm just like, shoot the dogs, you know, like they're going to try to kill me. I'm going to try to kill them. I don't care.
Well, let me just put it to you this way. This is on the same level of killing dogs in Resident Evil. Like, we're in Resident Evil. They're going to kill me. If I don't kill them, that's it. They gotta go. And I don't feel bad about that because these ain't like poodles.
Yeah.
Like they're not easy to kill. Even when it's just you and them, they're not easy to kill. Like you got bit a couple times and I was like, yep, she may survive the infestation, but now she got rabies. Yeah. I mean, that's what I was thinking. And so, yeah, I had no qualms about that. I do want to bring up one thing for you that I think is hilarious. You and I have been dodging Resident Evil 7 for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, we just have not been willing to play it. After playing basically what is the first half of this, we have no excuse because this is scary.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that we're willing to sit here and play this, we have no excuse not to play Resident Evil 7.
That's fair.
We just, because that's the other thing is that it is, they are very good at scares. They are very good at original Resident Evil type scares.
Yeah. Jump scares that aren't just gratuitous. You know, like that, even like at least twice, I was like, there's going to be a dude here, you know, like an infected when I walked through this door. And sure enough, there was. But there's been 20 other times that I've been, there's going to be an infected as I walk through this door, and then there's not, you know, like that they've done a great job of balancing it out well, that you're always kind of on the edge of your, it's one of the most kind of adrenaline pumping games that I've played in a long, long time, right? That it's just like the whole time I'm playing it, like my heart rate's up, you know, like I'm kind of leaning forward, I'm on the edge of my seat. Like it's just not a casual game. Like it's an intense game almost constantly. And that's part of the fun of it. But in a not just scaring you for the sake of scaring you, because it isn't a horror title, you know, like I still, horror titles don't appeal to me that much. This just has that enough of a horror element while being, you know, whatever you want to call it, an action thriller title or whatever, to keep it fun for me, you know, as somebody who doesn't love a horror game, but loves The Last of Us. It's just brilliant as a franchise. And so, yeah, it's fantastic. A little bit of news we'll throw in here because the first one I'd love to get your thoughts on, because it deals with The Last of Us. I saw this. I don't think we talked, because we haven't been talking news. And so if we talked about this, remind me, because I might have just forgotten. The Last of Us 2, they've said officially won't have any kind of DLC. And I dig that. I really like just the idea, again, of a game that stands alone. That this is the game. You bought the game. You got the game. This is the experience. Like, if they want to do something Naughty Dog has already done with Uncharted, the kind of non-expansion, right, that they've released a small standalone title with Lost Legacy, by all means, if you want to do something like that with The Last of Us and follow whoever's alive at the end of this game, which I don't know who it's going to be, but whoever makes it through, like, give us a standalone title of that. Perfectly fine with that. But I love the idea of, like, just saying, yeah, there's not going to be a DLC for this game. Like, this is the game. You got the game.
If you do a standalone title, And I take this strictly off of what I've just seen.
Yep.
If you do a standalone title, I want to see the last 3 years of Joel and Ellie.
Yeah.
I want to see from 15 until 17 and a half. That's what I want to see. Because we went through a section where it's her birthday and he takes her to like the coolest overgrown museum ever. Like, she's acting like a kid because she is. I'm 41 years old, and they climb into that space capsule, and I'm like, that's dope. Like, that's cool. She's got the helmet. She's got the whole nine yards, and it was a blast.
Yeah.
I want that.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to do a solo title, give me that.
Yeah, that would be very cool. Of the characters that we don't know if they're going to make it through yet, but May, I doubt it. I'm almost certain this character is going to die. But if he makes it through, I'd love to see a Jesse game too. I like him. I want to see what happens. You know, that's. But they're all going to die. I just know that. You know, like, you just go into it with that expectation of whoever lives at the end of this game. I'm going to be pleasantly happy for, you know, like, just somewhat relieved that anybody makes it through, because they're just all gonna die.
Well, somebody's gonna make it through, because they're gonna make a third one. You know they are.
Surely. It'll be here when we're 50.
Yeah, well.
Life being as it is.
Yeah, I mean, that may be the case, but
We'll be here for it.
Yeah, because let's face, we may be old and decrepit, but we ain't stopping playing video games.
Not chance in the world.
I mean, it's just, you're right. Everybody's going to die. I have this theory that everybody's going to die except Ellie. And we're going to end this game with everybody dead and her doing the 1970s Incredible Hulk, you know, like, I gotta find someplace to go kind of a thing. And if you don't get that reference, look it up. Please tell me you're old enough to get that reference.
Barely. Yeah. You're showing your age a bit.
Yes. Well, that's what I do. I'm old. But I just have this idea of the end of the game being, you know, the world's burning behind her and she has to go. There's literally nobody left. They're all gone. It's just her. And that is the most depressing, most annoying, most, like, just nastiest ending that I can think of for The Last of Us, but it would be perfect based on what they've already done.
Yeah.
Like, this girl gets her life back, but in the process, she loses literally everybody.
Yeah.
So, there's that.
Yeah. It's gonna suck. Whatever it is, it's gonna suck, and it's gonna be great. You know? Like, that's the paradox of The Last of Us, that you just know going in how it's going to work. So
one real quick thing before we run away.
Yep.
Because that's where you're going, I know. I have to ask, because you're holding the controller, is there anything that you hate?
It's a good question. Is there anything that I hate? It's a small thing. The weapon switching, I don't love. It's not terrible, and so I'm hesitant to say I hate it, but it could be smoother. And I've gotten a little more accustomed to it, and so I'm getting to where I can navigate it a bit better. But, like, especially in the heat of a moment in a fight, like just one right near the last I played it, so you may have seen this. I was in, like, you know, a fight, and was trying to do some melee stuff and then killed the guy with melee and then was kind of trying to drop back just a little bit and like pull out the pistol and shoot a guy, and she pulls out the bow, you know, and I'm like, this is not helpful, you know? And so I just end up charging the guy again and just hacking him down with the machete, which is my favorite way to kill somebody in The Last of Us, to be fair. So it's not the worst thing in the world. But again, it's just, there's a way that I could, that could be smoother, you know, that I couldn't tell you exactly what it is off the top of my head, but that's the one thing that just as a gameplay thing has bothered me. Outside of that, you know, like I'm trying to think, there's not really anything I hate. It's just a good, well done, polished game. I've gotten one bug where I clip through a wall for a little bit. I've seen other people with like the long arm bug. That's pretty popular. But I just haven't run into any of that stuff. It's been really solid, really well put together, really tight. You know, it's good. It's really, really good.
I have to say that my argument for against the machete is that then if you're going to use the machete, you need better silent kills. My favorite weapon is that smaller knife.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Like, I love that smaller knife because it's like she just sneaks up on somebody. And it's like right in the jugular.
Yes, that is the best way to kill somebody. And so if they don't know I'm there, that's a blast. If they know I'm there, the small knife then isn't nearly as helpful. And then the machete is much, much more fun. But you're absolutely right. That's the best way to kill somebody.
And this is not something that really happened in the original game, but my favorite type of character to kill is a live soldier.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you sneak up behind them with the small knife, the amount of blood that comes out of their neck is totally amazing.
Yes.
Like, it's the coolest animation. And I say this with the caveat that he is a pacifist. And I'm a guy in a wheelchair. I've never stabbed anything in my life. But that is so satisfying.
It is incredibly satisfying. Yes, it is a blast. Again, my pacifism goes away in the video game world, it becomes really fun at that point. So,
yeah.
All that said, really quickly, just other couple bits of news that are kind of fun to end here with. Next-gen game prices, worth noting, the first game price that we know is NBA 2K21, which is going to retail at $70 on next-gen instead of $60. It is what it is. We said the same thing when it went from 50 to 60, 60 to 70. You know, like, I just, whatever. It is that games get more expensive. It sucks. NBA 2K21 is not a game I'm paying $70 for. The Last of Us 2 is a game I'd pay $70 for. Paid $60 for it. Why not pay $70 for it? You know, like, still, there's going to be those games that are worth that. And so, yeah. $70 for games going forward. Have fun.
I you're right. It's not that big a deal. It's $10. Like, I bought a game I had no business buying yesterday because we already had a copy, but I thought to myself, you know, I just want this in my library, and I want to give the Telltale guys some money, and so I bought the season 2 of Batman with the Dark Shade noir thing that they've got going on, which I don't know if we have that in our copy that's in the show account.
Yeah, I doubt it.
But they, that was on Steam for like $8. So I bought it. And so I don't mind spending money on games at this point. And because of you guys that are on Patreon, that pay us to do this essentially. We're not paying for the stuff anyway, so I can't complain too much, but $70 is a lot of money.
Yeah, it is.
It's
100% true.
It's a lot of money in the scheme of the idea that there's a lot of people including musicians and various other people that aren't working right now. And I happen to know a couple that are really, really, really struggling. $70 is a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I understand what you're saying, that what's $10 more and we're adults and whatever. But man, $70 is a lot of money.
I hear you. No, it's fair. And add on top of that, whatever the stinking price for these things are going to be, that PlayStation 5 is not going to be cheap. So it's again, it is what it is. We're not stopping.
You're right. Here's my caveat to that. You're right that a game like The Last of Us is totally worth it, because The Last of Us does not have a game-breaking bug.
Sure.
the ones that are going to bug me are the ones that have a 50 gig day one patch.
Yeah.
Like that, I don't want to see that for $70.
Yeah. That's fair. I definitely hear you there. Yeah. Really quickly, we haven't heard much from Nintendo. By the way, you mentioned Patreon, so let me mention the Patreon, guys. Out of sorts, because this wasn't the show we were planning to do, but we're making it work. Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, and Sam. Again, thank each and every one of you for supporting us, for helping us pay for video games, so we can enjoy playing The Last of Us and then talk to you ad nauseum about it. So here you go. And we'll try again to talk to y'all next week. So.
Yes.
So with that, really quickly, we haven't heard much from Nintendo. There's a rumor that there's a Nintendo Direct that's going to come in the next month or so, sometime in July, that is going to be focused on Metroid. And that makes me happy. And I hope that's true.
I hope it's true, but I hope it doesn't suck.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I bought, this is something I should have talked about at the beginning of the show. Amy's here, and that's why the Quest is at my house, that you graciously shipped to my house, because I had to have something to entertain a 16-year-old kid. I have a 16-year-old niece, by the way. Holy cow!
Yeah, it's pretty brutal.
Yeah, it's not great. She's been hanging out at my house, and this time has been totally different because it just occurred to me Friday afternoon, we're hanging out at the house together, and she's in one room playing the VR, and I'm in here working or doing something else, and it occurs to me, like, I should really go check on her, and I'm like, wait, she's 16. I don't need to go, she's fine. Just chill out, dude. But back to my original point, you graciously shipped the VR to the house. It's here. We've been playing around with that. We've been doing lots of different stuff with that. She's having a blast. But one thing that is kind of crazy about having a 16-year-old niece is that she's talking to me like she used to be, way into like sitting in front of my computer and just playing games. Now she's very selective about what she plays and kind of where she's going. So one thing that I wanted to bring up about Nintendo is that she brought her Switch. But because she's 16 and she didn't bring the dock. So part of what we spent Patreon money this week on was a dock that I really hope doesn't fry her Switch, because it might. I don't think it will, because this is, by all accounts, the one out there that doesn't. So if it doesn't make a habit of breaking a Switch, we will have a Switch dock here. because she's like everybody else. She's been playing the game of COVID, which is Animal Crossing.
Yes.
And she really wants to show me around. And I'm like, okay, screw it. We're just buying a dock. But you can't find a Nintendo dock anywhere.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, Switch accessories and Switches, for that matter, just in such short supply. God bless them. They've done it again. You know, like Nintendo freaking did it again.
All of that being said, like, I really hope it's good. I want good stuff. Animal Crossing, so good. Zelda, so good. All of the stuff that they've done so far is really good. Metroid has to be good.
Yeah, I hope so. They have a good track record. And so, I say that. Metroid is the one place where they've put out a couple of lemons. There's a few of those Metroid games that aren't great in recent memory. Metroid Prime is awesome. Since Metroid Prime, if it's not a kind of 2D remake, it's not been great. Other M was not great. I wanted it to be better than it was, and it just wasn't. And so we know Metroid Prime 4 is coming. But hopefully that doesn't suck, and hopefully we hear a lot about that. I'd be perfectly happy for that to be the focus of a Nintendo Direct. But I would also love to see a new 2D side-scrolling Metroid on the Switch that plays like an old-school Metroid, but it's new levels, new worlds, new character, all that kind of stuff. I would be more excited about that, honestly, than I would be a Metroid Prime 4, and I'm going to eat up Metroid Prime 4. So we'll see what happens. That said, we need to wrap. I'll mention there's a bunch of video games that are either confirmed or possibly being made into TV shows, including Fallout, which could be really good, or could be really disappointing, but I'm banking on optimism right now. And I just saw Disco Elysium is getting made into a TV show, which kind of blew my mind. And so there you go. all the TV shows, video games.
Both of those are going to be really bad.
I can't speak to Disco Elysium because I haven't played it, but from what I know of it, like, it seems ripe for a TV show, but both of them are video games that you can kind of play the character any way you want. You can make your characters good guys or bad guys or whatever, you know, like you have so much control over those titles just from how you personally approach it. That to me seems like the big challenge. Like The Last of Us as a TV show makes a ton of sense. Like it's easy to define characters in that world because the characters are so well defined. If you're doing Fallout, again, I can speak to that one specifically because I've played tons and tons of Fallout. You're really just based on the world and you're having to come up with your own story, you know, like you can use some of the lore that exists in Fallout, but you can't really deal with characters. You don't have a character base to build off of. And when you look at a video game TV show that's successful, like The Witcher has, mixed reviews, you know, kind of critically, but overwhelmingly fan successful, that's because you have Geralt. You have a character that you can immediately connect with and know about and that kind of stuff. So that to me, that's the biggest question with Fallout specifically. And I would imagine Disco Elysium being similar, though. I don't know if it's exactly the same because, again, just don't have that experience with it. So all that said, I'm hopeful I don't want either one of them to suck. I really would love a good Fallout TV show. Wouldn't that be fantastic? A good quality Fallout TV show. That would be good. So.
Yeah.
That said, I need to go see my family and eat supper. So, hey, it was fun doing a show with you.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys know where we are. You know what's going on. Hit the Facebook. Hit the Gmail. Hit the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210. That's one thing we haven't done. We're supposed to get caught up on some segments, and we haven't done it. We're going to be doing that soon, I promise. And so there's some recent ones. Around some of our E4 stuff. We will get to those soon and some older ones that we just honestly haven't got to in a while. And so that will happen soon. That will happen very soon.
I'm Jamie, that's Tommy, and it's another episode of Idiots Explaining Entertainment. It's only on GamingUnsister.com. We are out. Brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff. helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.